Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
We appreciate you listening to Exploring Missions today. We're excited about our guest. Every so often, we have one that returns. And Nathan, you and I have been doing this for several years now. We tried to, I think it's been 8 years, to tell you the truth.
At least, yes.
We've been here, and the individual we're going to interview today is someone you've worked with, and I'm excited. I want to hear this myself, and I'm going to turn it over to you, because sometimes it's like Oh Home Week. Mm-hmm. When you know someone and you know about them and you want to have an update, where are you in your life and what's going on, what God's doing? So we're looking forward to that. We hope you'll enjoy Exploring Missions today as we find out what God's up to in people's lives, and we're asking you to listen and to be open to the Lord and say, "Lord, what would you have me do? I know I'm on mission for you. Where do you want me to serve?" So, Nathan, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, glad to. So today, I'm greatly privileged to introduce a good friend of mine to you, a coworker. Some of you know that listen to this program that I served for several years with Global Frontier Missions over in the Atlanta, Georgia metro area, and did a lot of things for a few years there, but I worked with and served under Grant Haynes, and it's been maybe not 7 years ago. That's when I moved from Atlanta to Birmingham, but somewhere in that time, we connected with Grant for this radio program, for this podcast, and he came on and shared a little bit, but it's still been a while. It's been a few years, Grant. So Grant Haynes with Global Frontier Missions, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, it's good to be on again. Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot of territory we can cover. Don't want to make it too personal for me because I have a lot of wonderful memories of my time serving with you. But tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, maybe what you guys are doing right now.
Yeah, so I've got a wife. Next month, we come up on 25 years of marriage.
Awesome.
We met on a short-term mission trip, ended up down in southern Mexico. We were there for about 14 years. All three of my children were born there. I've got a daughter and two sons. My wife is an elementary school teacher. She teaches Spanish, but she still has a heart for the nations and a heart for missions. We have Chinese neighbors, Indian neighbors, Ethiopian neighbors. So she's always hospitable and reaching out to our neighbors. Her students are from a lot of different countries, Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, Nepal, Burma. So she sees that as her mission field. She just got back from 2 weeks over in India. She had the opportunity to train some teachers on how to work with kids with special needs because she has that background. So I've got an amazing wife that's super missions minded, loves Jesus. My three kids are getting older now. My oldest daughter, Jordan, she went out and did a little bit of missions work with Youth with a Mission, went and did a discipleship training school and served over in Papua New Guinea. And now she's over at the University of Georgia. And then my son, he also took a gap year and did a program called the World Race. And so for about 10 months, he got to go serve in Guatemala, Cambodia, Vietnam, Eswatini, South Africa, and now he's back doing an internship with the youth group, and he'll be going to University of Georgia in the fall. He wants to study business and Arabic to maybe do missions in the Muslim world. And then my youngest son, Taylor, he's going into his senior year.
Okay. Well, if no one else feels this way, I feel much older now after hearing the update
right?
on your children. But that's awesome, Grant. So how long have you guys been in the Atlanta area?
So yeah, we did 14 years down in Mexico, and then we thought we would be serving somewhere over in the Muslim world or the Hindu world or the Buddhist world. Romans 15 has always been a life verse for us, where Paul said, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where it's never been preached before, not laying on another man's foundation. So our passion has always been to go to unreached people groups, places that maybe don't have Bibles in their languages, very few believers, probably not local churches where they can get involved or hear the gospel. So we thought we would be somewhere, North Africa, Middle East, South Asia, Southeast Asia, but felt like God redirected us to Atlanta, to this little community called Clarkston that has 20,000 people living in it and 14,000 refugees from Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, Burma, Nepal, Somalia, Congo, Central African Republic. The high school has people from 65 different countries. So yeah, God laid on our heart to come back and reach out to internationals that are coming to this country, and also to train missionaries that want to serve all around the world. And we found that this part of Atlanta is a great place to reach the nations and train people that want to go to the nations. So we've been here for about the last 13 years doing that.
Awesome. So you went from Mexico, Oaxaca, Mexico, that's more of the southern area of Mexico, back to Atlanta, and we'll get back to Atlanta here in a second. Tell us about, how did you feel called to missions in the first place? How did you get to Mexico? And then your wife, Jen, how did y'all get there? What was your calling and experience in following the Lord, obedience to Him toward the mission field?
Sure. I grew up in an awesome Christian family. I was born in Alabama. We moved a lot between Alabama, Georgia, and Florida when I was younger. Once we got to high school, moved out to Colorado. Our church in Colorado was missions-minded and did short-term mission trips. So my first ever experience going outside the country or doing something cross-culturally was one of these kind of typical short-term mission trips down to Tijuana, Mexico, where you get some training and do a vacation Bible school and build a house on a garbage dump for a poor family. And then honestly, even as a sophomore in high school, that trip changed my life. They did a few days of training before we crossed over into Mexico, and the 3 days of training were really, really impactful. There's a missions course that's really popular in America called the Perspectives course. It's about a 15-week missions course. I actually just finished getting back from Chicago, where they had the 50th anniversary of the Perspectives class. And it's been a course that 300,000 people have taken, and they teach you Genesis to Revelation, the biblical basis of missions, God's heart for the nations all throughout Scripture, and how God's story culminates with people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation surrounding the throne, giving Him the glory He deserves. I grew up in church my whole life, but I had never heard kind of the story of Scripture shown that way. Part of that Perspectives curriculum, they also talk about the state of the world and the task remaining, and they talk about the places in the world that have heard the gospel, the ones that haven't heard the gospel, where we still need missionaries to go, which languages still need Bible translations. So, you know, I had grown up in a great Christian family, grew up in the Bible Belt, seen churches on every corner, just had no idea and couldn't believe that there's 2 billion people that really had never heard the name of Jesus. You know, when the Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. But how are they going to call on the one if they've never heard of him before? So even as a sophomore in high school, I got this Bible knowledge. I got this information about how much need there was around the world. And I felt like I just surrendered to the Lord and said, here I am. Send me, God. I want to be involved in taking your name and taking your gospel to the places that have never heard. And then I met my wife on a short-term mission trip after high school, and she was wrestling that whole summer. God, do you want me to go to law school, or do you want me to go get a master's in education? Do you want me to go to Capitol Hill and fight for family values and rights and things like that, or do you want me to be a minister in the school system, to be a teacher? And she felt that summer like God was telling her, don't give me an A or B option. Give me a blank check. Put your life on the altar. So she really surrendered to the Lord and said, okay, God, you don't have to choose A or B between education and law school. What do you want me to do? And she really felt like the Lord was telling her cross-cultural missions as well. So we did the long-distance relationship for a few years as we were doing college and missionary training. And then that's how God brought us back together down to Mexico.
Wow, that's awesome. And so that's where in Mexico is where Global Frontier Missions was birthed. When you first started Global Frontier Missions, did you have a Mexico-only kind of perspective, or were you seeing Mexico being as like the starting point, launching pad, and you were kind of envisioning bigger things? Tell me about that.
I mean, we loved our time in Mexico. We were up in the mountains, a lot of different villages that didn't have Christians. We honestly would have been happy if the Lord would have left us there forever. We loved our kids being in the local schools down there. Their closest friends were Mexicans. Our closest friends were Spanish speakers at the different churches and villages. In the early years, we actually had a bank account that was called Oaxaca Frontier Missions. And so we thought that we were going to name our nonprofit organization Oaxaca Frontier Missions, and that's what we would do.
And for those that don't know, Oaxaca starts with an O, not a W, right?
It is. It does not look at all like it sounds. It's O-A-X-A-C-A, Oaxaca. So we were going to call our missions organization Oaxaca Frontier Missions, but then we got to thinking, we're like, what if God does call us to a different country or a different place? So then we actually changed the name to Global Frontier Missions to give opportunity for growth or for God to redirect to a different place after a certain amount of time.
Well, and that's what he did. He brought you to Atlanta. That's where we met. And those of us that have been following the Lord for any period of time, you learn quickly that God loves to redirect his children. You don't have to be necessarily a missionary for that to happen. But missionaries definitely have to be flexible and continually listening to the Lord for that next step. So tell us some of the latest steps over the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years since we probably last talked to you. Tell us the website first and how people can connect with you, and then maybe some of the things that GFM is undergoing right now.
Yeah, for sure. So gogfm.org is the website. And there's a link there that talks about free missions resources or free mobilization resources for your local church. So we write a lot of blogs and articles. We have some really good YouTube whiteboard videos that have been used in a lot of churches for missions education. In the last few years, we've started translating those whiteboard videos into other languages as well. So we have some in Spanish and Portuguese and Czech and Russian and Vietnamese. Right now, they're working on them in Hindi and Gujarati. So we've kind of been known as a missions mobilization organization, providing tools to help the church get excited about their role in God's mission, praying, giving, welcoming, going to the nations. But our primary focus as an organization is missionary training. So they say about half of the missionaries come off the field within their first 2 to 3 years of service. And it takes at least that long to learn the language and worldview and be able to share the gospel.
Yeah, 2 to 3 years.
Hard conversations.
Yeah. 2 to 3 years, you're just getting started. You're just kind of warming up. And you're saying half of the missionary force leaves in the warm-ups before they really get into the game.
So we have a real passion to train missionaries really, really well. So we have our hub in Atlanta where we train missionaries before they go to the field. And then we've got a base over in South Asia to walk alongside people their first 6 months to a year and a half on the field to help them with language and culture and heat and spiritual warfare and visas and team dynamics, identity in the community. And we're really excited that just 2 months ago, we launched a Thailand location as well. So we've got 5 folks that are going to be a part of that team in Thailand. One thing that's been really exciting, we felt like the Lord said a few years ago that in the next 5 to 10 years, that he was going to use us more not only to train American missionaries, but to help train missionaries from around the world. Some of your listeners may or may not know, but missions used to be kind of the West to the rest. It used to be England and America sending all the missionaries around the world. In the last 20 to 30 years, we've seen the South Koreans rise up and the Brazilians rise up and the Nigerians rise up, Filipinos. So we felt like in the last few years, like God is saying, in the next several years, GFM is going to be focused on not just training more Americans to be missionaries, but how can we come alongside our brothers and sisters all around the world, give them the training, the tools, the theological education, the missiology, anything that they need to go thrive overseas. So we've got the new base in Thailand, and it's the way that it came together is we do have an American family that's over there, but we also have a South Korean brother that's a part of the team, a South African family that's a part of the team, a brother in Liberia that's raising support to become a part of the team, and a Filipina American. So it's this really cool multicultural team from all around the world. And they say, you know, missions is no longer the West to the rest. It's from everywhere to everywhere. Yeah. So we have this new hub in Thailand to train missionaries to serve in the Buddhist world. And we have our online missionary training as well, where people not just in America, but all over the world could get trained to do cross-cultural evangelism, discipleship, and church planning. And we're hoping in the next year or so to make that available in Spanish and then in Hindi as well. So really excited about some of those developments.
Wow, that's awesome. I remember when online missionary training school.com rolled out, and we didn't know. We had no idea what the results would be from that. Have you gotten some data? Like, how many people have completed that course in some of the countries where they've done that?
Yeah, so we have the very first module for free, and I think when we looked at that, it was like 80-something countries that had done the first free module. And then since then, I think we've had 30-something countries that have signed up for some of the other modules as well.
Right.
Yeah, well, like you said, when we first started the program, we figured it would be Americans that speak English that couldn't come all the way down to Atlanta and give up 5 months of their life to get trained. But then when we put it online, we started having people whose English was pretty good, but they were from Bangladesh and Pakistan. We had a whole group of people in Malawi that went through it all together as a cohort. Okay. Then there was another indigenous missions organization in Uganda, and they wanted to use the training and went through all of it together. We have one assignment on the online program where they have to go on the Joshua Project, which is kind of the go-to database to help find where the remaining unreached people groups. And one of these guys did their Joshua Project assignment. They clicked on their country. They found the people groups in their country that had little access to the gospel. And he found one that was only like 2 hours away from him. And so he started hiking in every single week and sharing the gospel. And I think he's seen a few people come to know Christ and is discipling some people from a completely unreached people group. So, yeah, it's been really amazing to see. We never kind of dreamed what God would do with the online platform. And now having it potentially available in some different languages will allow us to equip even more laborers for the harvest field.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So you mentioned about the five-month in-person missionary training school there in Atlanta or specifically Clarkston area. What can you tell us about that? If someone is like, hey, I have this call to go to the missions, hit the field, I don't know, sometime in my future, maybe I know when that might be, or perhaps I don't really have a clear picture. I just have a general feel and a call that God is wanting me to do something. What would you suggest if they go to gogfm.org?
Yep.
And what do they need to do if they wanted to find out more about missionary training school?
So gogfm.org, and then click on the missionary training section, and it'll have all types of information about our head, heart, hand philosophy. We want people to understand the Bible, the Word of God really well. We want them to understand world religions, have a good missiology, but we also want them to have good character and integrity and walk in freedom from certain sin issues and have a good marriage relationship or a healthy single attitude towards singleness. So we work on the heart and discipleship side of things, and then quite a bit of hands outreach in the community among refugees. And we have some people walk in the door that already have a missions agency that they know they're going to serve with. Some people already know the exact country where they're going to work and the type of missions that they're going to do. But we have quite a few, I would say probably 75% of the people that come through have just a generic sense of, I think God's doing something in my life. I think I want to do something cross-culturally. I think Jesus maybe wants to use me to be his hands and feet among the nations. So we have a lot of people. And we think Clarkson is a great place for people to kind of flesh out that call a little bit, because there's so many different countries here. You might develop a heart for a certain religious background or a certain people group or a certain country. We have people that do English classes, after school programs, sewing ministries, community gardens, businesses, mission opportunities, and then just straight up evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. So people can kind of discover their gifts and maybe the type of ministry that the Lord would want them to do long term. So it's a great little program for folks that know exactly what they want to do. And then for others that are just sort of exploring missions, and even for people that don't necessarily want to go overseas, but are maybe called to the welcoming side of things, ministering to refugees, immigrants, international students. Another recent development, you've asked kind of what's going on in the last few years, right, and what's coming up in the next few years. We're actually adding a specialization for businesses mission for people that want to have a job overseas and work in the marketplace, but live with gospel intentionality in their workplace or start new businesses overseas. And then we've got a guy, a mutual friend that you know as well, Travis.
Yep.
He's on staff with us. He went over to Guinea-Bissau and was doing a great work over there doing farming God's way and agriculture missions. So we also have a specialization where we'll train people on the agriculture side of things if they're going to be in a rural area, want to learn how to do different things with drip irrigation and different crops so that people can maybe have two harvests a year instead of just one during rainy season. So we're pretty excited about business's mission and agriculture. And then next year, my wife is going to help us get our ESL training up and running.
Awesome.
So that people could get an ESL certification and maybe get a paid position or at least get into countries that are a little bit harder to get into. But many countries around the world want to learn American English. So we're going to add certification for that as well and send out those types of missionaries.
That's awesome, Grant. So today we're talking with Grant Haynes, the founder, director of Global Frontier Missions. And he's talking to us about some of the training opportunities that exist through Global Frontier Missions. He talked about mobilization and just getting people to the mission field, but also getting them there well-prepared and trained. But there's also an aspect of Global Frontier Missions, and you touched on it when you talk about welcoming, specifically there in the Atlanta area, Clarkston, Georgia. Can you give us, you know, we, all of us that are listening, know someone that is a stranger, what the Bible would call a stranger, someone from outside of our community. What are some practical things? What are some things a church or even just an individual can do to reach out to the strangers among them, those that may be from another place, have come into your circle of influence to a degree? They need to know the Lord. They need to hear the gospel. What would you say?
Yeah, I actually just taught on this at that Perspectives Conference up in Chicago. So I did the biblical basis of God's heart for the foreigner. If people wanted to go on our website and look for our whiteboard video, it just shows a lot of Bible verses of why God tells us to reach out to the stranger, the foreigner, the alien. So that's kind of the why we should reach out to internationals. As far as the practicals, we talked about prayer, care, share. So the first thing is pray and ask God for open doors and opportunities to connect with people from other countries. And God is good. God loves the nations. He loves to answer those types of prayers. Sometimes that includes prayer walking, going to the parts of town where you know there's a lot of ethnic restaurants or you know there's apartment complexes with people from other countries. So we encourage people to pray for the nations, pray for opportunities, and prayer walk in the areas where we know that internationals in our cities are hanging out. Next one is care. How do we care about people? Ask good questions. Where are you from? What country are you from? What language do you speak? Could you teach me how to say hello in your language? How has your time in America been? What's your favorite food here? What's your favorite food there?
And Grant, let me just interrupt. A couple of my favorite questions when I was living in Clarkston, and I still will do this when I come across someone, the opportunity presents itself. I like to ask the two questions. First, sometimes I'll say, do you have an American friend? And it's really, I don't know, it really breaks your heart to know how many people actually don't. They might have been.
I know, right?
I had a neighbor in Tupelo, Mississippi that was from Vietnam. He lived on my street for 13 years, and I was his first American friend.
Wow.
So that's a good question. Another question is, has anyone ever told you about Jesus? That will also break your heart to know how many people have not been told the good news of who Jesus is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. Prayer, care, share. We pray for opportunities to make friendships with internationals, intentionally go and eat at ethnic restaurants instead of paying for your gas at the pump, go inside. There's a good chance that the owner will be from India or Bangladesh or Pakistan. Yeah, meet felt needs as much as you're able to. Give people food. Teach English in a local nonprofit organization or at your church. And then share is obviously asking those questions. What religion is the most popular in your country? Have you ever had a Bible before? Have you ever heard about Jesus? And then look for an opportunity to share your story, your testimony. We found that with people in a lot of other countries, you can use good like apologetics and logical why Christianity is true and those types of things. But man, a lot of people from these cultures are very experiential in their learning and their understanding of religion and the spiritual world. So your testimony can be really, really powerful. Yeah. Say, hey, can I tell you about how God has changed my life? And look for opportunities to share your story. And if there's an openness to spiritual things, openness to Christianity, no, I've never heard of this Jesus person, definitely go to the gospel, share the good news of Jesus with them.
Awesome. So we've been talking with Grant Haynes with Global Frontier Missions. GoGFM.org is how you want to connect. Grant, we've got just about a minute or so left. What else could you tell our listeners about what Global Frontier Missions is about? How can they help? How can we connect? What are some things you can tell us about GFM?
Yeah, just go to the website, and if we can help your church in any way, we would love to provide mobilization resources. If you know of somebody wanting to go to the mission field, please tell them to get training, whether it's with us or a different organization, so they're not one of those statistics of people that leave the field early. And then, yeah, every one of us as a disciple of Jesus should also be a disciple maker. So if there's anything that we can do to help you or your church have the tools to share the gospel and make disciples, we would love to do that. We've got really good Facebook following, Instagram, YouTube. We've got a newsletter list. If people want to keep up with our ministry and pray regularly for us, that would be amazing. So I would encourage folks to get on our website and follow our different social media, YouTube pages, so that they get the newest Bible studies, videos that we put out there, resources that can help them have a heart and play their part in God's great commission.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today, Grant. One thing I mostly appreciate about you, there's a lot of things I appreciate about you. One, that you're just real and you're a good friend and you're a wise person who has a lot of knowledge, and but you can dumb it down for people like me. But I tell you what, God used you and GFM in my life to really shape my mind and my heart toward what God is doing in this world. And so that's our prayer for each of us today as we listen, that God shape your heart, your mind, by His Word, by His Spirit, to join Him in what He's doing in the world today. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions.